Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Harper, the swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Monday to you. I hope you had a good day. Hope you're having a good afternoon, a good evening. This is halftime of the show, of my show. The show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey holding it down for us in New York City. And right now, we got some more March Madness action. LSU and Iowa are going at it. A chance to move on to the Final Four, a rematch of last year's national championship. LSU currently leads 38-37. 3 minutes to go in the first half. We'll keep you up to date as the game goes on. 855-212-4CBS is the number. That's 855-212-4CBS. You can find me online. I am on the internet all over the place. I am at JR Sport Brief. I need to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. We've had a fun show so far. Thank you to our college basketball guest, Steve Lapis, CBS Sports Analyst, for coming through to talk about the upcoming men's Final Four that will take place this weekend out in Arizona. North Carolina State getting ready to take on Purdue. Alabama getting ready to take on UConn. And we can't get here soon enough. Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening is going to be a good old time. And then we'll figure out who's going to play in the national championship come Monday night. So thank you again to Steve Lapis. We talked about Dan Hurley, head coach of UConn. I don't want to say playing the role of underdog, but always finding a way to motivate the team. I guess when you're the big dog and you're beating up on everybody else, you got to find something, even the smallest things, to go out and motivate yourself. Last hour, we had some good chats on some of these big dudes, some of the big men that we have remaining here in the Final Four. Zach Edey from Purdue, 7'4". We talked about DJ Burns of North Carolina State, 275 pounds. And in a few seconds, a matter of fact, right now, we're going to talk about just a big man. This is a big man who is an MVP. This is a big man who's been a scoring champion. This is a big man who's in the midst of a $213 million contract. There is no doubt, no debate about what he's able to do in the NBA. It's Joel Embiid. The big man, the center that's been missing for the Philadelphia 76ers since the end of January. Torn meniscus. I don't even know Joel Embiid has enough ligaments left in his body to still exist, but he does. And it's been talk about him returning, not returning, disappearing. Are we going to see him? You know, based on Joel Embiid's injury history, I think it's well within reason just to go, was he going to come back this year? I mean, since he went down and Kuminga fell on his leg and his knee was bothering him for weeks before that, even though he was out there dropping a million points a game, they are 14-27. Let me say that again. The Philadelphia 76ers are 14-27 without Joel Embiid. They are 26-8 with him on the damn floor. I think it goes without saying, they need him. Okay, it doesn't matter how much Maxey has grown. Tobias Harris is not the next best option for the squad. And so Philadelphia has fallen from the top of the East. They're in the play-in right now. They're the eighth seed. They're 40-35. Miami is above them. And Chicago and Atlanta are right behind them. That doesn't say a lot. And the Sixers suck. That's just what it is. Sixers suck. No Joel Embiid. They're garbage. And you would think with a potentially returning Joel Embiid that he'd be able to fix things. But I'm not all that sure. Here, let's take a listen. This is from last week. This is the head coach, Nick Nurse, first year here with the Sixers, talking about, in real brief, yeah, there's a chance that Joel Embiid could come back, and it could be soon. Listen to this.
I think there's a very good likelihood that he will return before the play-in, playoff.
Okay. Well, what about tomorrow? The Philadelphia 76ers are going to take on the Oklahoma City Thunder, and we started getting word that Joel Embiid could be back in action as soon as tomorrow. With less than 10 games left here in the regular season, Joel Embiid playing basketball might be a reality. It's crazy. Listen to what Woj had to say on ESPN.
I'm told that Joel Embiid's return to the Sixers lineup is imminent. It could come as soon as tomorrow night against the Oklahoma City Thunder in Philadelphia. But the expectation is Joel Embiid will be back this week. They've got 7 games left in their regular season. And when Joel Embiid last left this team for that meniscus procedure, he was on his way to becoming the first player since Wilt Chamberlain to average 35 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. He's been ramping up his conditioning in recent days. The belief is that meniscus, that knee is sound, and he is ready to return and impact this Sixers run in the Eastern Conference playoff.
Oh, my goodness. I can't buy into this. It's Joel Embiid, and I love him. I mean, I think he's great. He won the MVP last year. Most times at the end of the season, at the end of games, the man looks gassed. They're talking about his conditioning. They only got 7 games left. Am I supposed to believe that Joel Embiid is going to be a reliable option? There's only 2 directions that this can go. That he is ridiculously healthy, right? That he has sat down and feels so good that he's going to be ready to go and he's going to dominate everybody because he's a little bit more rested. Or he's just going to be rusty. Or he's just going to be injury prone, which he is already. It didn't take a torn meniscus here for Joel Embiid to get labeled as injury prone. Joel Embiid has been injury prone since he started playing basketball. We're talking about a meniscus that has already been torn. We're talking about a player who at this point last year, heading into the playoffs, the man had 2 busted up hands. The man was running around in a mask, had an orbital fracture. Joel Embiid, I mean, outside of Ben Simmons, I don't want to be disrespectful to Joel Embiid, but he's always hurt. There's always something banged up, nicked up. I don't know if I trust him. And the fact that the 76ers going into the postseason, come on, man, this is going to be tough. The Boston Celtics are sitting at the top of the mountain. We know that they have their issues, most certainly when it comes to the end of games. They don't know what the hell to do. It's just isolation city. They don't walk away with a W. But it's just tough. The Sixers were going to have a tough go at it if Joel Embiid was healthy all year long. Yeah, they would have finished towards the top of the East. But this, I don't want to say there's a guarantee. I got no confidence in Joel Embiid. Unless this is the year that he changes everybody's mind, flips the script, and just picks up the pace and dropping 30-10 like it's nobody's business. But I don't think he'll be able to do that. Not with the minutes. They're going to have to babysit Joel Embiid. What else is new? If he plays tomorrow, what are they going to do? Put him out there for what, more than 20 minutes? I highly doubt it. They're getting him ready for the postseason. They want to bump him around a little bit and see if he can last. But the way that he falls on the floor and rolls and people fall on him and he's always looking for a soft landing so he doesn't get hurt, I'm not all that high on Joel Embiid coming back and having a major impact. Tiki, what do you think, man?
I'm with you in part because I'm not sold that he's not going to go get hurt again. I mean, this is a guy that I think it's outside of 2020, the bubble year in which they were swept by the Celtics in 4 games. He's never been healthy in the postseason. He's played through injuries, but he's been dealing with something. Face, knee, hand, you name it. He's always been banged up come playoff time. And now, I mean, like you said, like you can't trust that he's going to be 100% number one. How effective is he going to be now that he's sat out really almost, you know, 2.5, 3 months? It's been. And he's also, I mean, he's been a guy that has not played well in the postseason. When you really need a big Joel Embiid game for your MVP, he's never delivered. And now he's going to be on probably one leg for most of the year, assuming he doesn't get injured somewhere else again. Yeah, I mean, Sixers, you get your guy back so you can maybe buy in. Then now all of a sudden you could kind of turn this season around. But in reality, when it comes to the playoffs, Sixers are still not a threat.
You don't think he's healthy? You said on one leg. You don't think he's healthy?
I mean, I don't. I got to see it. For someone of his size with a meniscus injury, doesn't seem like it heals overnight. I mean, I think he's healthy enough to play, but is he 100%? I would say no.
Yeah. He's 7 feet, giant man. And looking through his injury chart and history is, I don't want to say it reads as comical. The list just goes on forever. Left knee surgery, sore knee, sore back, sore ankle, face bruise, ankle, migraine, ankle, foot, knee, ankle, lip, knee, neck, shoulder. Just knee, foot, knee, right knee, ribs, knee, rest, foot, calf, knee. I mean, people think about how long Joel Embiid is actually going to last in the NBA. Like, he just turned 30 in March. And we're supposed to think that he's gonna bounce back. He's gonna get healthier as he gets older. I mean, the guy was drafted out of Kansas and couldn't play the first year because of his foot, the knee, because of the issues. I don't think he's gonna quote unquote age like a fine wine. Joel Embiid has a shelf life, and God bless him if he can come back a little bit more rested than everybody. If he feels good, if his knee is stable and he's going to go out there and destroy the competition, and good for him. I don't think so. You got to handle this guy with kid gloves. Yeah, 20 minutes a game? Maybe they want to ramp him up into the postseason and throw him out there for 30? It just feels like Joel Embiid is a ticking time bomb, and it really looks like we saw the peak of him last year. In the beginning of this year, if he can bounce back, then good on him. I don't believe it. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Speaking of bouncing back, we got a game that's still going on. LSU and Iowa, they are at halftime, and it's been pretty close all throughout the game. LSU starting off a little slow. It's 45-all. LSU 45, Iowa 45 at halftime right now, this minute, this second. Angel Reese got her leg banged up. She went down, but she's continued to play. She has 13 points to go along with 8 rebounds and 2 blocks. So she has showed up to work and is getting busy. And then Caitlin Clark, 19 points by Caitlin Clark, 3 of 8 from downtown. 19 points at halftime. Caitlin Clark on pace for almost 40 to go along with 5 assists here. Didn't expect anything different. Hickey, I didn't see it. Did they exchange any type of pleasantries before the game? Did you catch it?
I did not. I'm not sure if they did and the camera just didn't catch it, but at least, I mean, obviously trying to have just one eye on it, I did not see any sort of exchange pregame.
Yeah, I know what I've seen a lot of. Man, Kim Mulkey just wearing the officials out. I mean, even walking off of the court at halftime a few minutes ago, her and Angel Reese just in a tight, you know, contest, just on the court. I have never seen Kim Mulkey just be smooth. I've never seen Kim Mulkey just be calm. Everything with Kim Mulkey is just intense. And, yeah, different strokes for different folks. There's more than one way to coach a basketball game. But Kim Mulkey, I mean, with the article that came out in the Washington Post, it certainly seems and feels that every second, every moment is just filled with just being contentious. And so we'll see what happens with the rest of this game Iowa and LSU currently locked up 45 points all at halftime. I expect this one to go all the way down to the wire. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. We just talked about Joel Embiid potentially returning as soon as tomorrow for the Philadelphia 76ers as they take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. When we come back, Joel Embiid, there's always something wrong with the guy, right? I just told you. Knee, foot, eye, hip. It's like a game of operation with him. Always something wrong. There was an issue that the NCAA has had for weeks, and people are just finding out about it, and the tournament is almost over. I'm going to fill you in on what the issue is or was, and then I want to talk to you about LeBron James, because LeBron James, again, is talking about retirement. It's like, LeBron, we know you're closer to the end. We'll hear from him on the other side of the break. We have so much more to do. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Told you right before we went to break that LSU and Iowa, that they are tied up right now at 45 all at the half. We'll see what happens. Caitlin Clark with 19 points. Angel Reese has 13. In a few minutes, we'll get into LeBron James, reminding everybody that he will eventually retire. And then I want to talk to you about a massive mistake that took place with the NCAA. Has to do with the lines on the court. I don't know. Maybe somebody needs to get the boot. 855-212-4CBS. Let's go ahead and hit the phones. We got Dwayne. Dwayne is here from Alabama. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's going on, Dwayne?
Hey, JR. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing good, my friend. Listen, I was raised up as a kid, dirt poor, okay? So I played primarily basketball with all black kids. I'm a white guy, okay? But I played street ball. You ever played street ball, JR?
Yes, I have no cartilage in my knees as a result, yes.
Exactly. Okay, so everybody's talking about Alabama has no chance to beat UConn. That UConn should probably
hold on, Dwayne. What is that? What does it have to do with anything?
Well, I want to get your thoughts on this.
Okay.
If I'm Nate Oates, because all the experts they've narrowed it down. Here's how Alabama. Here's what they got to do to win. Here's what they don't have to do. Here's what they got to do. Here's what they don't have to do. But at the end of the day, they all say, but they really don't have a chance. Okay. So, I'm Nate Oates. This is what I'm doing, brother, and that's the reason I ask you about street ball. If I got eight guys, okay, that can play, then I say, boys, we've gone further than anybody ever thought you was going to go. So, tonight, we're going to play street ball, and that's exactly what I want you to get out here, run, freaking gun, and play street ball. And when the big guy, and I can't stand this guy in the middle, because all he does is butt bump you all the way back to the goal, knocks you back 5 feet. Remember when we played street ball, the way you stop that is you slide your knee right up between his legs, and when he butt bumps you, you just lift up a little bit, and it stops all that crap.
Okay.
They don't call that a foul. But the main thing, I wanted your idea on What do you think?
Alabama needs to rain down threes. I don't know. Okay. Thank you, Dwayne, for calling from Alabama. Appreciate you. I don't know if playing street ball is going to win Alabama the game. You know, Mark Sears went out there, he hit like 8 threes. Every time Clemson tried to do anything, it's like, here's a three-pointer. They had 16 threes. And Mark Sears had 7 of them. They're just going bombs away. And I don't think anybody's running around saying that they have no chance. Everybody has a chance. Do they have a good chance? Do they have the best chance? Are they the favorites? No, they're not. But if Alabama wants to go out there and win, and if Alabama wants to come out on top versus UConn, Alabama's going to have to get crazy with the three ball. I mean, are they going to have the same type of luck against UConn that they just had against Clemson? Odds aren't high. It's not in their favor to necessarily go out there and do so. But resorting to street ball? And what does me playing street ball have to do with Coach Oates? I don't know. Hickey, I was trying to piece that one together for a minute there. I'm like, what? And he said he's a white guy playing with black people. I didn't. That was a long way to get there, Hickey. I didn't understand it, but we got there.
Yeah, I don't know the reason for that explanation, number one. I mean, it sounds like essentially he's trying to put it nicely of just not play dirty, but like play dirty. Is that essentially what he's insinuating? That like Alabama can't beat them straight up, so let's, you know, hey, maybe throw a knee where it shouldn't be, or oh, wow, my foot ended up here. How did that happen? Now you tripped. It was an accident. Oh, wow. Maybe I'm going to the lane. Here's an elbow coming up early on in your jaw sort of thing. Yeah, I mean,
so
that's if
basically,
you were talking about streetball. That's what it sounds like.
Basically, what we need right now is for Draymond Green to leave the Warriors and coach Alabama for a game or two, right? Is that what he needs?
Forget coach, play. Any eligibility left?
Oh, my God. Draymond out there versus college players? What would he be doing right now? He'd just be punching people, wouldn't he?
He would be talking. I mean, the amount of smack he would talk to college kids would be off the charts.
But you remember there was that incident with Draymond a couple of years ago. After the Warriors won a championship, I don't know which one. This might have been championship one or two. And Draymond, I think he was on campus and he ended up getting in. Did he fight or punch a former player or active? Do you remember that?
No. What?
There was an issue where Draymond was back on campus, and then he got into some type of issue. Like they just here we go. NBA fans have found an old 2016. Okay. Wow. Draymond Green punched a college football player. 2016.
A Michigan State college football player.
Yeah. MSU football player says he was the one punched by Draymond Green. Wow. Yep. Can't make this stuff up. I'm looking at the Detroit Free Press. The man who Golden State Warriors star Draymond Green is accused of assaulting early Sunday was Michigan State football player Jermaine Edmondson, according to a report from the East Lansing Police Department. Edmondson, a fifth-year senior who played defensive back for the Spartans, has asked for and received a release to play for a different school. Wow. Yeah. And so this was after a finals loss. This is one of the times that they lost to LeBron James and Draymond Green. So, yeah, maybe that's a bad idea. Maybe we don't need Draymond Green in a college, next to a college, next to college athletes. I mean, he punched a Michigan State football player, and then he punched his own teammate who used to play at Michigan. So it just seems like Draymond Green doesn't get along with anybody, huh?
I mean, he made a guy transfer. My goodness. This guy, I mean, I don't want to laugh and say he can do it all, but jeez.
He got a lot of talents here. How about that? He went back to his old school and punched a guy.
That's insane. I can't believe I never heard this story before today. Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah, it doesn't get talked about a lot. And I guess when you're Draymond Green and you have the, I don't want to say the reputation, when you have his track record of violence and you think about all the NBA pros that he has put his hands on and punched and stepped on, it tends to get lost in the mix just a little bit. That little incident where he punched a football player at the school that he went to, that Draymond Green. What won't he do? Like, I don't know. Punching teammates. He punching anybody. I wonder who he'll punch next. He's on quite the roll right now. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Maybe Draymond. I think he might have played some football, I believe. Maybe that's why he has so much pent-up aggression and violence. Yeah, maybe Draymond would be the guy to transition. Be picking up penalties left and right all the time. Hey, folks, I did mention to you before we got our call in that the NCAA, speaking of college, maybe Draymond can help them with this, calm him down. They had an issue out in Portland. The NCAA women were out there. We had North Carolina State. They were taking on Texas. And before the game started, the coaches were alerted that the three-point line, they were not the same distance. And the coaches had an option here to either play the game and delay. And they said, screw this crap. We're not going to delay the game so you guys can paint a three-point line. And they continued, and they went out there, and they played. North Carolina State came out on top over Texas 76-66. And it is just, it's just kind of ridiculous that you could be here in March Madness in some of the most important games, and the court is not even painted correctly. You can't make this stuff up. Listen to ESPN tell you about it.
Well, before we start this Elite Eight game here in Portland, want to let you know of some news that happened pregame. The NCAA was made aware that the top of the key to the three-point line, the space on either side of the floor, looked to be different. The NCAA notified both coaches at approximately noon local time, 3 Eastern. Both Wes Moore and Vic Schaefer came out to the floor to take a look at it. They asked for the NCAA to measure, and they did that. The NCAA measured from the baseline to the top of the three-point line and found there was a discrepancy on one end of the floor from the other, but both Vic Schaefer and Wes Moore have agreed to go ahead and play this game to avoid any delays.
Like, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, from time to time, we've heard about baskets being uneven and needing adjustments, but the three-point line, you would think that'd be simple. And I get it. This is the Moda Center. This is the home of the Portland Trail Blazers. It's not a place that typically is holding college basketball games all year long. But come on, now, y'all can't get the line right? Like, this seems like a joke. Like, we needed 3 dudes to come out, one guy with tape and masking tape and some scissors and a Sharpie to go out there and fix the three-point line. And so, yeah, I told you, North Carolina State ended up winning 76-66. As we all know, both teams, you know, they switched sides, so one team wasn't necessarily at a disadvantage. They were both at a disadvantage. And Texas's head coach, the one who took the L, he talked about this afterwards. Vic Schaefer, he says, yeah, this is the only thing that's going to happen in college. This is what happens to us.
Well, I hate to say this, but I have a lot of colleagues that would say only in women's basketball. I mean, it's a shame, really, that it even happened. But it is what it is. I mean, I'm not the culprit here. You guys are asking me about something that I had no control over, so Vic Schaefer ain't the problem. But anyway, it is what it is. So it's a shame. That's all I can say.
Ooh, in the women's game, only the women's game. Wow, okay. All right, has he got a point there? I mean, would we see that? I don't know about that. I mean, we can say that, but stupid stuff happens in college all the time. If I heard this story with the men's game, I wouldn't think any different. If I heard this story with the men, I wouldn't go, oh, my God, they screwed up the line. They screwed things up. I don't think it's a matter of just the women. And oh, it's the women. Who cares? We just putting the lines out on the floor. NCAA makes dumb decisions. And Caitlin Clark is out here trying to yakking that ball from deep. 58-51 right now is the score. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. for CBS. Hickey, do you think they screwed that line up, but they didn't care because it was the women? I get it, but I wouldn't be shocked if it happened at a men's game.
I would be, just with the attention and the money that goes into it. Like, if you're going to, like, I would be surprised this happened at a men's game. I mean,
wow.
9 inches? Like, that's like no accident. That's, I mean, the fact that you can pick that up with a naked eye, and the fact that it also took 5 games to be played before you realize it, I would be very, I do think that this is a, I'm with Vic Schaefer. I think this is a women's basketball, like, problem, in the sense of whether it's like they're not using the same, this is going to sound stupid, measuring device. Like, however you do that to go from an NBA court to a college court. And you saw them, the video, measuring like with a measuring tape. I hope it's more high tech than that. But it's not surprising, unfortunately.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but you're right. On the men's side, it would have been picked up sooner. Like, it would have been noticed, because there's more attention paid to the men's side. But for the women, I think I could have seen this happening with the guys. It just would have been picked up faster, without a shadow of a doubt. I hear Coach Schaefer, though. He wants to protect and look out for the ladies. No respect, right? It's a tough world to come by. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Speaking of respect, we'll get into LeBron. Matter of fact, we'll get into LeBron at the top of the hour. I want to talk some NFL on the other side, because there's a couple of players that picked up some money today. And we know in the NFL, well, money equals respect.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. Oh, man. Iowa running around right now. 63-52. Iowa leads LSU. About 3 minutes to go here in the third quarter. Angel Reese, maybe that leg injury from earlier on is catching up with her. She landed awkwardly. It looked like she messed up her knee a little bit, her leg. But she's been able to continue playing. LSU needs some points as Caitlin Clark is, let's just say, lighting things up. Angel Reese, 14 points, 12 rebounds. Caitlin Clark already with 31 points, 7 of 14 from deep. She is cooking. I mean, hey, Hickey, that guy that called from Alabama wanted Alabama to play dirty against UConn this weekend. If LSU is going to have a chance here, maybe somebody's going to have to get real physical with Caitlin Clark, because she's doing whatever she wants to out there.
She is pulling up from deep, making also two when she's cut off in the basket, good passes. Maybe Kim Mulkey, fourth quarter, a little adjustment, have I forget the gentleman's name from Alabama. Dave, maybe?
The violent guy?
Yeah. Have him, you know, coach the team for the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he might. Yeah. Angel Reese, it says she last made a field goal with 6 minutes to go in the second quarter. I mean, they're in the third quarter, and it's about 3 minutes left. So you can bet, depending on how this game goes, and you can kind of see Angel Reese limping around. You know, people are going to ask about her performance, and she's battling, and we're going to get all of the cliches. You know, Kim Mulkey should have her own camera. Like, do they have a camera that just stays on her all game?
If they don't, I love that idea. That is tremendous. They should.
Mulkey, I mean, for all these alternate views and all these other ways that you can, you know, watch the games now, Kim Mulkey's expressions throughout the course of the game, they are just, she's a character. We know that. She is a character all by herself. You know, before we went to break, we'll get back to the basketball. We'll talk about LeBron at the top of the hour, some of the comments that he made after spanking the Brooklyn Nets. I told you that there were a couple of players in the NFL who got a little bit of a come up. Congratulations to Brock Purdy. Now, I have never heard of this in my life, and I'm like, whoa, this is kind of weird. Brock Purdy got himself a raise. Brock Purdy made $740,000 from the NFL. The league is paying him $740,000. The NFL has a program that compensates players if you, like, ridiculously outplay your contract. And Brock Purdy, being the last dude selected in the draft, only making about $1 million in base salary, someone who was an MVP candidate, and Purdy most certainly went out there and did this. I've never heard of this program. Hickey, did you hear about this before today?
No, and I actually didn't even know about it till you said it. I was confused. I thought that was just like the, you know, like players have incentives. Hey, you win a playoff game, you go to the Super Bowl. I assume that's what like that list was. I didn't realize this was like an NFL-based, if you want to call it, for lack of a better term, incentivized program. That's really interesting.
Yeah. NFL announced its annual performance-based pay distribution. And maybe we've never heard of this because there's never been a Brock Purdy. The NFL compensated players an additional $400 million in performance-based pay for the 2023 season. The program compensates players based on their playing time and salary levels with the intent to give additional money to players who perform beyond their contracts. This is tough. You think about another guy, John Simpson, who just signed with the New York Jets. He's making an additional $1 million, a double to salary. He was playing on a mill last year. There isn't all that much clarity on how you can end up, you know, with one of these performance-based boosts. Never heard of this. Congratulations to Brock Purdy making an additional $1 million. And we know if Brock Purdy, unless he just completely craps the bed next year, we know that Brock Purdy is going to make himself about $40 to $50 million a year. And so if Brock Purdy shows up to work, and if Brock Purdy goes out and throws, I don't know, another 30-something touchdowns, that man is going to get paid. He's going to get paid big time. And, you know, speaking of the New York Jets, or I told you John Simpson signed with the New York Jets. Last week, a couple of days ago, we learned that Hassan Reddick, the man who ironically, you know, knocked Brock Purdy out of not this past season, but last year's NFC Championship game, Hassan Reddick is now a New York Jet, traded over from the Philadelphia Eagles. They kind of swapped pass rushers. Bryce Huff gone. Reddick couldn't come to a contract agreement with the Philadelphia Eagles, so they traded him to the Jets. And I got to tell you, the man said he is excited to play for the New York Jets. But the memes and the photos online, the man looks miserable. Listen to Hassan Reddick talk about how excited he is to be a New York Jet.
It's a new beginning, a new chapter for me. I get to come here, be around some great players, some guys that have made some great names for themselves, especially on the defense side of the ball. I'm happy. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to getting out there in front of the fans and just showing what I have to bring to, you know, as an asset to the team.
Yeah, and he's as local guy can be, I guess. He's from Philadelphia. He was with the Eagles. He went to school at Temple. I'm sure going up I-95 is not the worst thing in the world. He just didn't sound as enthusiastic. He didn't look enthusiastic. And the internet basically had a field day with him. I mean, for the past couple of seasons, and especially his last in Arizona, 12.5 sacks. With Carolina, he had 11 sacks, 16 sacks for the Eagles when they went to the Super Bowl, and 11 sacks last year. If there's one thing that Hassan Reddick does, it's go and get the QB without a shadow of a doubt. Now, the New York Jets, we know, they're loaded, right? They still need some help at wide receiver. The defense is loaded. And the New York Jets, unless Aaron Rodgers decides to run for political office or get hurt again or say something crazy, the Jets should be in a good position. And so Hassan Reddick, he said what we all know, what a lot of Jet fans hope. He says the Jets can be special. Listen to this.
And what we have the opportunity to do, if we can all come in, build that chemistry, you know, get on the same page and just become a completely bonded team by the time the season starts, man, I think we can go really, really far.
Man. Hickey, there's not another team like the Jets, right? There's just only one. Like, the league has gone through phases where you got laughingstock teams. I mean, the Detroit Lions for a long time, Washington. Are the New York Jets, are they the only team occupying that space right now?
Right now, yes. They shared that space with the Browns for a while. Those two, were, I would say, were very similar in how they ran, how they swung and missed on quarterbacks. I mean, Watson, whatever. It seems like the Browns at least are a step or two ahead of the Jets. So I think the Jets right now are all alone in last place.
Yeah, it's I'm a Jets fan. I love the Jets. I love them. And they provide me great material with how bad they are. But there's nothing that the New York Jets do that excites me. Nothing. They just added one of the premier pass rushers in the entire NFL, and it's a great move. I'm happy that they did so, but I can't be excited about it. I'm not excited about it because the hopes, and we can say this about any NFL team, but the hopes for the New York Jets, it lies with the quarterback. We know that. That's for any team. The quarterback stinks, your team is going to stink. But the fact that the New York Jets quarterback, there are so many different, I don't even want to say possibilities with the man, whether it's his health, whether it's his interviews, there's so many distractions from a guy who basically said, we, the New York Jets, need less distractions. I guess I'm just here for the Aaron Rodgers ride. You know, where does he take the New York Jets? Where do the New York Jets go? It is just, I don't want to say a sad situation. It's a comedy. It's a drama. I mean, I know the NFL is switching up Hard Knocks. You're going to have the preseason version, of which the Jets participated in last year, so we won't get this version, where the teams, where at least a division, Hard Knocks is going to follow an entire division. And you know what? Forget it. We don't need any more of the New York Jets. We don't need more of the Jets than we already have. So scrap the idea and let's just get on with the season. Haven't heard Aaron Rodgers speak in about, Hickey's, it's been what, like a week?
It's 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks.
Wow.
So you know what that means.
Yes, we got something coming from him this week, I bet,
he's
right?
He's due for something.
Yeah, that guy loves hearing the sound of his voice. Congratulations to the New York Jets. And maybe Hassan Reddick will look a little bit more thrilled, sound a little bit more thrilled the next time he talks to the media. He's just here to not get fined. Sounds like Marshawn. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. When we come back, we're going to talk about a guy who does a lot of talking too. And he's talking about his future. It's LeBron James talking about quitting. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.